Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, the 6th of July. And isn't it good to wake up on a Monday morning with plenty of sport to report on? Times have changed. Fantastic news for everyone. Lots coming from overseas. I'll have it all covered for you in the next 25 minutes. Let's start with what happened on the home front yesterday. And we'll start with all the footy as a big round 5 concluded before the players head off into their hubs. Fremantle yesterday getting their first win of the season, 20-point victors over Adelaide.
Hogan goes back and it's the first win of the coaching career of Justin Longmuir. And a first win of 2020 for Fremantle.
And it was the first win since round one for Richmond, beating the D's yesterday at the MCG by 27 points.
Absolutely gutting for Dion Burstead, the best and fairest from last year.
Shocking news, but great news for the Tigers. They get up and win here for the first time since round one when they defeated the Blues.
And GWS, 34-point winners over Hawthorn last night at Giant Stadium.
The Giants have got big, wide smiles. 2 wins in a row at home has changed the complexion of their season. And they're right back on track.
They sure are. We'll dissect that game in a little while on the Breakfast Bite as we hear from Alistair Clarkson. A few more holes the Bulls paid than he would have liked. Let's get all to it on the other side of this.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, the Breakfast Club returns. Half, Whitey and Rammer are back for your Monday morning. There'll be plenty happening with Jimmy Bartel joining the guys after 7 o'clock. Before 7, the early mail, Whitey 7 question quiz and plenty of footy dissection and dissection of the world of sport over the last couple of days. David Mundy to join us after 8 o'clock on the Breakfast Club, and then Lee Broxham from the Melbourne Victory on the resumption of their season as well, which is nearing in just a week and a half's time. About time, too, for the A-League. And they've still got about 3 or 4 games to go. And then they'll have another break and then come back again later in the year for the next season. So it is the longest A-League season in the history of the sport. Let's catch up on everything that happened yesterday in the footy world, and then we'll get to some racing from overseas as well with Gayath, a big result overnight over in Able. We'll talk about that shortly, but first to the footy, where Justin Longmuir got his first win as Fremantle coach. The Dockers yesterday at Metricon Stadium, 4-10, 34 the Crows, and Fremantle 8-6-54. The Crows butchered a lot of opportunities, but the Dockers had the lead for the majority of the game and were able to hang on in the end. Let's have a listen to Justin Longmuir after his first win as Dockers coach.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's been a tough season. I mean, yeah, it's not a win for me. It's a win for our footy club. Like, we've done a lot of heavy lifting early in the season. Clearly haven't played a home game yet. But all our staff and players have been so positive. And trying to constantly improve. So they deserve this. Yeah. Oh, clearly there's some inconsistencies in our game still. But, yeah, the way they responded, especially our mids at centre bounce in particular, got the game played in our front half. And, yeah, I thought we couldn't have asked for much more in that last quarter. The most important aspect of our game has got to be winning the contest and playing the game in our front half. Yeah, in the second quarter we just went away from that brand of football. We got beaten around clearance. Their good midfielders got on top of us, and we were forced to do it from our back half. And that's been the issue in our inconsistent moments in games. So I thought we took some steps forward with our ball movement today. Clearly we had over 100 marks. We're not going to do that every week, but I felt like we backed ourselves with ball in hand a little bit more, and that's something we want to do. I thought we shared the load pretty well, to be honest. Andy had a terrific game, played him in a different role in the first quarter, but then just played him as a midfielder for the rest of the game. And his first quarter was fantastic, and he was probably our most consistent, along with Dave Mundy, our most consistent player across the 4 quarters. So yeah, it was terrific for him. But I thought we carried the load, we shared the load amongst a lot of players today.
We'll hear from Matthew Nix later on. So close, but yes, so far for the Crows, who are clearly stuck to the bottom of the table. Zip and five, the only team without a win this season. Let's head to the G, where Richmond were too good for the Ds yesterday. 12-779 to Melbourne, 8-452. The Ds tried hard in the second half, especially in that last quarter, to try and mount a comeback, but it wasn't to be. Damien Hardwick here on the win, which could come at a big cost with injuries to Trent Cotchin, Toby Nankervis, and also a pretty serious leg injury to Dion Prestia.
I thought we clearly moved the ball a lot better. I thought defensively we were pretty solid behind it. Probably a couple of offensive turnovers gifted them a couple of goals. So there's some real positives to come out tonight. We've still got a lot of work to do, there's no doubt about that. But the overriding feeling after the game was one of a positive nature. Yeah, so Toby, syndesmosis, Dion, syndesmosis, Trent's got a slight hamstring, so obviously those guys won't play next week. Tom's got a maybe a broken finger, we're not too sure, but we'll see how that goes. He obviously played out the game, so we're hoping that'll be okay. It's come at a hefty price, but those boys will be back. We get an opportunity to see some other players fulfil some roles, which excites us. We've been down this path before. We've dealt with it, and I'm sure we'll deal with it pretty well again. We fly out at Monday, 1 o'clock, but we've sort of got a reasonable idea what it looks like, but we didn't finalise things, or we won't finalise things until tonight. Once again, we weren't going to make decisions on players or get players to make decisions until we got through tonight. So we'll have a better understanding when we step on the plane at, I think it's 1 o'clock. Well, Basher had a baby boy, Mohammed, so we send our congratulations. Actually, while I remember, condolences to the Chadwick family too. Rex Chadwick passed away during the week, an incredible supporter of us and our footy club, so we pass on our condolences to the Chadwick family. Once again, we haven't worked our way through that. We've still got some players, Shane Edwards' partner's pregnant and probably pretty close to giving birth now, so, we've got some situations we have to work through, but the overriding thing is we're pumped and ready to go. Can't wait to get up there. Bring on the sun. I'm a tanning type of person, you can tell.
Do you have a rough idea on numbers? Because the other thing Barmy said was that a couple of the younger boys would stay here and train here for the whole time you're up.
Yeah, once again, look, we're probably a side that will look at fast-tracking some development of our players, because the overriding impression we got from the AFL, and I hope they're pretty strong on this, is that there will be no other scrimmage games up there. So once again, there will be some players that will stay, and we will fast-track their development. They'll have a couple of coaches stay that will teach them to play the Richmond way, so we expect that'll be a reasonable result for us. So we're working our way through that now. We haven't got any answers, but we will be the first to let you know.
Damien Hardwick there. A couple of Tigers will be staying home, it looks like, and it'll be interesting to see what the final report and toll is after that game yesterday. Bruising encounter with the Ds, and the Tigers left to count the costs. Before we hear from Simon Goodwin later on in the Breakfast Bite, let's head to Trent Cotchin now. He spoke on Channel 7 immediately after the game.
Not sure yet, but I think a tiny little hammy, so it is what it is. It's part of the game we play. From my understanding, there's a couple of guys that have either just had babies or have are expecting, so clearly, as a club, we love to support our families, and
Trent Cotchin there, fans very happy in the background. It does sound like normal footy when that's going on, but of course no one's sitting at the MCG yesterday, so the Tigers 27-point winners. Let's head to the final game last night, and it was the Giants by 34 points over Hawthorn up at Giants Stadium. 13-5-83. They kicked brilliantly throughout the night, the Giants. The Hawks 7-7-49. Some incredible statistics in this one as well, especially the inside 50s. The Giants only had 26 inside 50s for the entire evening. They scored 18 times. That's not a statistic that Alistair Clarkson will be too happy with during the week. Let's hear from Leon Cameron first after the win.
Jez probably gets that A-grade defender all the time, and Harry and Jeremy Finlayson probably cashed in a bit tonight at times. So, but, it's work in progress, but we're really pleased. They've got a great appetite. They're learning every time. Having key forwards that want to get better is really good, and it's infectious for our smalls as well. We've just got to keep going back to the drawing board. Ideally, pump the ball in a little bit more than what we did tonight. But I can't argue with some of the efficiency that we displayed tonight.
Leon Cameron speaking there last night. As I said, very few inside 50s for 18 scoring shots. So a nice outing for the Giants last night. Heath Shaw was fantastic. Josh Kelly very good as well. And as you heard, four goals for both Finlayson and Himmelberg inside 50 last night. So good news for the Giants. A couple in a row now, and they head to seventh on the table, but they're only one win off the top of the ladder. More footy coming up a little later on in the Breakfast Bite, but let's head now to racing from overseas, and it has been a big few weeks in England, and this was billed as a fantastic showdown between Gaeth last night and Enable. And it was the Charlie Appleby trained Gaeth who was able to prevail in the last furlong over 2,000 metres against Enable, the superstar.
The racing now inside the final full and a half. Gaeth is digging in. He leads by 3/4 of a length. Japan there in the centre. On the outside is Enable. There's a half furlong to go. Gaeth has the rail to help. He still leads by a length and a half. Enable is running out of time. And it's Gaeth who's going to take the Coral Eclipse. Gaeth has won the Eclipse. Tight second between Enable and Japan.
More on that at 8:30 with Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. But another fantastic performance by Gaeth. They might have found the successor after Enable has dominated over the last couple of seasons in Europe. Still a very good performance with Frankie Dettori on board last night. So Gaeth wins for Charlie Appleby there at Sandown Park in the UK. Let's head back home to a few of the NRL results from yesterday. 14 points to 12 was Newcastle over Manly at Brookvale Oval. Let's have a listen to how this one finished. This is the last play of the game. Bear in mind here, Newcastle leading by 2 points. Manly almost ran at the length of the field to steal the win.
Away to Jake. Ball goes to Cherry Evans. And now Suli. And now Funa down the wing. Don't tell me. Funa's away. Kicks back to the infield. Who's there for Newcastle? They've got it in the end goal.
It's McCulloch.
McCulloch has fallen on the ball. Now we're looking for some interference here.
So they did have to look at that. Nothing came of it. Game was finished 14 points to 12. Fair to say, Manly disagreed with the referee's decision. Have a listen to this.
Mate, Jay, I'll talk to you.
What's it, mate?
Can you send everyone else away?
No, go. What's going on?
You've been sent off. You call me an effing retard then, so he can go.
It's not too far.
Adam's gone. So
I get that. I need please explain.
Mate, and you know what? We had the process and we had it reviewed and they reviewed that there's nothing in the lead up. Okay?
Man, that's just.
We had it checked, we had it reviewed.
It's ordinary.
Mate, that's your opinion.
Wow, fair to say they weren't happy. A couple of players set off at the end there after the game had finished. So a few suspensions perhaps coming their way. Let's have a listen to the Manly coach, Des Hasler, on the last decision of the game.
Well, obviously. He sent Adam off, so we'll need to look at that. I think from Adam's point of view, it was emotion and frustration, but you've got to contain that. So we'll have to wait and see what the charge is and what the fallout of that is, and I'll have to probably check with the with Graham Annesley to find out what the rule is in regard to no penalty try, no penalty. I don't mind about the penalty try, but it was possibly of the penalty maybe shot a goal, but that didn't happen as well. So look, I'm sure it's refined and I'm sure it's in the rules, but we'll check it and see what the NRL has to say.
So Manly last night losing 14 points to 12, but all the drama was after the whistle. Let's head to the latter game last night. 26 points to 10, South Sydney too good for Canterbury. Let's have a listen to what Canterbury coach Dean Pay had to say. He's a man under pressure at the moment.
Yeah, there was a lot more commitment there tonight, Matty. So, the way we first half was, really strong and, we... First try was, fairly soft try, but then we got ourselves into the game and really competed really hard, for that first 40 minutes. And, I just thought, the 15 minutes after half time sort of really hurt us. But then they kept fighting, You know, they got themselves, you know, there were some opportunities there to take, and we didn't sort of really take them, but they kept fighting to the end.
South Sydney, 26 points to 10 winners over Canterbury last night. Nice that Wayne Bennett had a bit more to say than his world record 77 second press conference last week. He was quite happy with the win, but good news for South Sydney. They move towards the eight after a bit of a stuttering start to this season. Let's have a listen to, speaking of under pressure, the Brisbane Broncos as an organisation are under pressure. They got beaten by the Warriors, who are, of course, living in a different country to where they're based, 26 points to 16. Some of their players in tears after the performance, and it's left a lot of people questioning where the entire club is at. Here's club legend Justin Hodges on the Broncos situation at the moment on Fox Sports yesterday.
Well, Bonnie, hopefully it doesn't get too much worse. I think we've pretty much hit rock bottom. When you look at the scenes last night, you can see the sadness in the players. You know, they're trying really hard, but you know, it's just not happening for them. Whether the game plan is too complicated, it's not getting down to the players. You know, some older players might know what's happening, and you get the younger players who doesn't know what's happening. So I think what needs to happen is everyone just needs to get on board and sit down and try and work out what's going to happen in terms of how they're going to play their football, because at the moment it just looks like some players know what's happening and some players don't. So, yeah, look, they're in the stream, all sorts of trouble, and it's disappointing to see, but, you know, there's only one way out, and that's to fight, train hard and get ready to prepare next week and put your body on the line.
Time for a break at 12 to 6 on your Monday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on some live EPL with the big upset brewing. F1 returned overnight. More of the same, unfortunately, for Daniel Ricciardo. And we'll get you an update from the Gulf as well with the rest of your footy news from a big weekend.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Zinchenko. Caught in possession in a dangerous area. Goalkeeper off his line.
Shea Adams, what a hit it was from about 30 metres out. He put Southampton 1-0 up against Manchester City. That was all the way back in the 16th minute. We're now in the 92nd minute, and the score is still 1-0 in favour of Southampton over Manchester City. So that would be a big upset in the Premier League. Audio there, courtesy of Optus Sport. Liverpool, of course, 23 points ahead as they closed out another 2-0 victory over Aston Villa overnight. And we'll update you on that score from Southampton as soon as the final whistle goes. We're now into the 94th minute. They're leading at 1-0. So good news for them, considering that they've got a bit of work to do just to get above that relegation zone, but they should be fairly safe now if they can close out all 3 points. Tomorrow, Tottenham play Everton in a big clash too, which we'll be able to update you on during the breakfast bite. Let's head to the golfing world now. Just a bit of a score update here from the PGA Tour. It's the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and one man who's hitting bombs at the moment is leading the way. Bryson DeChambeau is 20 under the card. He's 4 under in his final round through 8 holes. He's 2 shots ahead of Wolf, who has an interesting swing himself. He's 18 under the card, and the number of players at 17 under, but it does seem like it might be down to those two at the top of the leaderboard. In terms of the Aussies, only one made the cut, Rank Gibson. He finished at 10 under, 1 under in his final round, so he finished in a tie for 43rd. Jason Day, Cameron Davis, Greg Chalmers, Matt Jones, Cameron Percy, Aaron Baddeley, and John Sendon all missed the cut, so not a great weekend for the Australians. Hopefully they can go better over the next couple of weeks on the US PGA Tour. Let's head to the F1 now. This was, astonishingly, speaking in the middle of July, the first Grand Prix of the year in Austria. A bit of a delayed start, of course, after things went awry in Melbourne all those months ago, but Valtteri Bottas was able to get the season underway with a win in Austria.
71 laps out of 71 here. Chaos and carnage at times, but Valtteri Bottas wins the season opener here in Austria.
Yes. What a race, Crofty. What a race.
Didn't have much to say in celebration there, Valtteri Bottas, or at least not much that was able to be broadcast. He won in the Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton in fourth place, Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari finishing in second, and Norris in the McLaren in third. Daniel Ricciardo, as I alluded to before the break, well, it's the same old engine trouble for him.
What's happened to the Renault here of Daniel Ricciardo? He's dropping back a little bit. Did he lose power for a minute? Is he stuck in third gear? He hasn't changed gear for quite some time, Daniel Ricciardo. And is this yet another problem? There's a smoke coming out of the rear of that Renault. He's just been overtaken by his teammates. And I think Daniel Ricciardo is another one that's coming into the pits with yet more mechanical problems here in the heats of Austria.
Yeah, Renault, they cleared a space in the garage about 30 seconds ago. And, of course, they would have seen on the telemetry that Ricciardo had a problem. And, oh, no, not another one as he comes to retire. Car number three, he was so beefed up for this. He had a great qualifying, didn't he, Ricciardo? Yeah. But they've cleared a space in his side of the garage and the car is...
That was it. The car was out. So Ricciardo not finishing. There was plenty who didn't finish as well. Only 11 cars finishing in Austria. So we finally made the return to Formula One racing. But more of the same for Daniel Ricciardo, unfortunately. Let's head to the footy from yesterday in case you're just waking up and you missed what happened last night. A couple of good results, especially if you're a Giants fan. 34-point victors over Hawthorn. As I said before, very few inside 50s. They only had 18 scoring shots, but they were able to run out 34-point winners. 13-5-83 to the Hawks, 7-7-49, only scoring one behind in the final term. The Hawks, when they did get a bit of a run on late in the third quarter. Let's hear from Alistair Clarkson. First of all, on holding the ball and how that interpretation had changed after his comments from last week.
Been a bit of hype about it throughout the course of the week based on my comments last week, so I'm better off not fueling it any further. I'd rather just bow out and just see how it unfolds over the next little while. You know, in essence, I'm glad if holding the ball is being rewarded more for good tackling. I think that's a good thing for the game. It'll open up the game. If that was the case tonight, there will be more goals scored tonight than what's been the case in other games. But we'd still like it to be a bit more, particularly if we could start kicking a bit more. So, yeah, we've kicked seven tonight. That's not going to win you many games of footy. So we've got to get a bit better in a whole heap of areas of our game. Oh, there's a lot of people that can talk about it, and we'll just see whether it has some sort of impact on the quality of the games as we move forward. You know, we've got one sample size of a round of footy now, and I haven't watched enough of the other games to see whether there's been any change or significant impact at this point in time. But we'll wait and see over a passage of time just what's transpired in that space.
Alistair Clarkson speaking yesterday. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about the game as a whole as well.
They were just really polished with the footy when they went inside and took their chances. And on the flip side, we couldn't take our chances anywhere near as much, and part of that was just due to the pressure that was applied, and at crucial stages they applied the pressure a little bit better than what we did.
Yeah, the results yesterday, Fremantle by 20 points over Adelaide, so the Crows still yet to get off the board in 2020, and Richmond, 27-point winners over Melbourne yesterday at the MCG. Let's have a listen to Simon Goodwin. He's starting to lose patience with his Ds.
It's a familiar tale. When you look at the stat sheet, it's the same, you know, and we're working incredibly hard to fix it. As a coaching group, as a playing group, we know what the issue is, but we just need to find a way to execute better, but we also need to find a way to win more contests forward of the ball. You know, today, as Fimitao went wide at times, but we're just losing too many contests, and we've got to find a way to fix that. You know, we know the issue, we're working hard at it, but it's got to be fixed soon because it's costing us games of footy. It's killing us.
Simon Goodwin there after another 27-point loss yesterday at the hands of Richmond, who came off almost second best considering the injuries to Cochin and Curvis, Lynch with a broken finger, and also Dion Prestia with a serious ankle injury. Just to update you on that score from the EPL, Southampton have closed out victory over Manchester City. So a bit of a loss there for City, considering they are in second position, but they're pretty safe in terms of their Champions League spot as well. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning. Nice to have plenty of sport to talk about as things are slowly returning back to normal, at least in the world of sport anyway. Lots to come on The Breakfast Club. Jimmy Bartel coming up after 7 this morning. David Mundy after 8 o'clock. Lee Broxham from The Victory to join the boys as well. Half Whitey and Rammer will be back in about 5 minutes' time.